This is the part where I usually say, kids, you're dismissed if you want to go to Kid Connection at this time, but if that's what you're hoping for, ha, too bad. Today is a fifth Sunday, and if you are new here with us at First Friends, on fifth Sundays, there are always four of them in every calendar year. So on fifth Sundays, we give our Kid Connection time a break. We invite the kids to stay in here with us, not only because it gives them a break, but also because we want to make sure our kids know, like, they are part of the church today. They are not the church of tomorrow. They are part of the church today. And they are just as valuable as contributors to this worship experience as any one of us old grown-ups might be. So, kids, you're welcome to stay here. We do have something kind of special planned because on fifth Sundays, we try and make things a little more kid-friendly, if you will. And we have some really intriguing ways that we're going to do that this morning. But if you saw, we promoted this a little bit on our extended cuts on Facebook. I promised somebody would join me who is both better looking than and more mature than Mike Barnes, and I'm ready to deliver. So you want to come on up here? Fantastic. Well, I got to get you a microphone. No, I didn't forget about you. This is yours, though. You're going to want that. Remember, by your chin, right?
I know.
Okay,
I know.
Great.
We've gone through this 100 times.
Yeah, I know. So, if you're not familiar, this is my son Nathan. He is going to help me out today. We're going to talk today about David and Goliath facing the battle. This entire series in 2021 is called Faith Like a Child. We're going to be examining four stories in Scripture that feature kids or really, really young people. And I asked Nathan what order he wanted to go in. He said, let's go chronological. So we're going to start with the oldest of these stories, and we're going to look at David and Goliath today and examine how David faces this battle that is in front of him. So we're going to take turns back and forth, screen by screen, reading the scripture to you today. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 32. However, to get you there, if you're unfamiliar with the story of David and Goliath, essentially there is this gigantic Philistine named Goliath who is threatening the people of God and the army of God, and the two armies are camped on opposite sides of this area. And basically this giant Goliath has said, you know what, how about if you send out your best guy, we'll send out our best guy, and if you beat our best guy, then we'll be your slaves, but if we beat your best guy, then we'll be your slaves. You know, this is how they did things back then in the ancient world. Let's do this and see who's going to end up being the winner or the slaves. And everybody in the Israelite camp is just shaking in their boots, including the king. Nobody wants to face this giant named Goliath, the Philistine, until this young boy, David, shows up bringing lunch for his brothers. His brothers aren't happy to see him. What are you doing here? You don't belong here. But David hears about this giant and he essentially says, I'll be the one. I will be the one to go face the battle. So we'll pick it up there, starting in verse 32. Did you start last time or did I start?
I think I started.
You start this time then. That worked
right.
Out well.
David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth.
When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. So Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you.
Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he wasn't used to them. I can't go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off.
Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him.
He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals."
Gross.
David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.
This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and to the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Those who gathered here will all know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands."
As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it, and it struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground.
So if you've been with us through past Fifth Sunday series, you know that we typically try and take a kid's movie, an animated film, and use clips from that in order to bring some element of fun into it. Well, we're not going to be able to do that anymore. Now that we are live streaming regularly, some things don't play nicely with the live stream. And so we decided we'd come up with the next best thing, which I actually think is an even better thing than the next best thing, because you are going to get to hear from your own kids. No puppets. We're not doing puppets. You get to hear from your own, we invited the kids of First Friends to read this story with their parents, grandparents, caregivers. And then there were some questions that we had prepared, and we had the parents, grandparents, record the answers to some of these questions, and we want to share them with you today. We have a couple videos. You're about to see the first one, and I got to tell you, magical. Magical content that you are about to view with your eyes. Some kids were much more excited to share with us than others, including one little girl who felt it necessary and helpful for us to have an intro unannounced, we did not ask for this, but it became the perfect intro for these videos you're going to see about questions that we asked our kids at FFC. So, are you ready to tune in for the magic? Here we go.
Hi, I'm Betta. I'm from First Friends Church. I am 6 years old, and we will be doing some questions, and I'll see you soon. Bye, let's do some questions!
Have you ever tried to fit into mommy's or daddy's clothes?
Oh, I've tried in your clothes. Yeah, I've tried in yours.
Yeah, how did that go?
Oh, horrible.
Why did it go horrible?
Because it was way big.
Have you ever tried to fit into your mom, dad's, or older siblings' clothes? And how do you think it would go if you tried that?
It would be very baggy, and you would probably trip from all the weight on you.
I would just fall down.
What do you think would happen if you tried to fit into their clothes?
Well, I've never, and if I did try to, I'm guessing it would just fall down.
Have you ever tried to fit into my clothes, or dad's clothes, or Zane's clothes?
Yeah, I tried to fit into Zane's shorts.
In his shorts?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was like my pants. It was like up to my ankles.
Have you ever tried to fit into mommy's or Betta's clothes?
Yeah.
Yeah? How did they fit?
Perfect.
They fit perfectly? They weren't big at all? Have you tried on Daddy's big coat?
No.
No?
I wear that before when I was painting at school. My paint shirt was too big.
Oh, your paint shirt was too big?
Yeah. But my arms could fit in it.
Yeah? Was it really big on you?
Not like medium-ish.
Oh, it was medium-ish? Okay. Have you ever been told there are things you can't do because you're a kid?
Oh, yes, all the time. Tons of times.
million times. Oh, yeah, I have.
Have you ever been told that there are things that you're not allowed to do or you can't do because you're just a kid?
Drive a car. Vote. Go out shopping by yourself.
Make leave. Drive a car.
Are you allowed to stay home alone?
No.
Harrison, have you ever been told that you can't do something because you're a kid?
Yes.
What was it and what happened?
I couldn't climb on the roof like my dad could at the old house because I probably would have fell.
Have you ever been told that you can't do something because you're a kid?
Have you ever been told there are things that you can't do because you're a kid?
No.
No, you can do everything.
No, that's crazy talk. Who would ever say that? So, four big takeaways from the David and Goliath story we want to share with you today. And here are the first two before we get to another video full of joyous answers. Number one, don't let doubt or discouragement derail your drive.
That five times fast.
Like all those D's. So there are two big reasons given for doubt and discouragement in this story. One of them is your own limitations, which we see in David's size, David's stature, David's age. Secondly, though, it's the battle in front of you, the size of a Goliath. Two reasons to feel doubt or to feel discouraged. One sort of internal, one sort of external. David was doubted several times in this story. In verse 33, we read that he is only a young man. And in verse 42, as Goliath looks him up and down, it says that he was little more than a boy. Now, we don't know exactly how old Goliath was when this story took place. Scholars, the consensus is probably around age 15 is most likely, maybe as old as 17 or so, but if he was much older than that, he would have actually been in the army, and therefore he would have already been at the battlefield. Some, though, think that it's possible he was as young as 12 years old.
Just imagine me doing something like that, something to put in your head.
Yeah, picture you battling a giant.
Not like me per se, but someone like me.
Gotcha, someone like you. One of those doubting discouragements that we see came from someone who should have been a friend of David's. It was King Saul, who was the person who said to him, "You are only a young man." But it wasn't just from a friend, it was also from an enemy. It was Goliath who said that you're barely just more than a boy. So receiving doubt and discouragement from someone close that should be a friend and someone who is an enemy, which leads me to a question for you. Do you think it's easier to take doubt or discouraging comments from a friend or from an enemy?
Well, obviously, it's easier to take it from an enemy because a friend, you think of them as the kind of person that you feel safe, you feel uplifted being around them. But when they doubt or discourage you, it feels like betrayal almost. Mm-hmm. Whereas an enemy, it's something more you would be expecting, although from an enemy, the discouragement would probably be a little more intense.
Yeah, maybe emotionally problematic from a friend, but maybe physically threatening
maybe,
if it's coming from an enemy. Sure. Now, on the surface of the story, as we read it, it looks like David's youthfulness is a source of weakness for him. He's so young, he's so small compared to Goliath. But I wonder if maybe it was even more so because of his age and because of his stature that David knew that he had to trust in the strength of God. Because he's little more than a boy, and he's way shorter than this towering giant that he's going to face. He knew that he needed God's strength because he wasn't bringing much to the table on the surface. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing about this idea, and he says, "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I think David knew this instinctively. He knew that he looked weak, young, and small, but the strength of God was great that went with him. Even if he wasn't just a kid, that battle was crazy intimidating from the outside perspective of the size of his opponent. But he really was just a kid, just a kid, which reminded me of 1 Timothy chapter 4 that tells us, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. So what do you think, Nathan? Do you think people tend to still look down on kids these days?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
I would say because when someone's younger, they don't have as much experience. They're not bigger, as big and as strong as like an adult. Mm-hmm. So people don't expect them. They have like lower expectations. But like, as proven in the story, most kids can do what's beyond the expectations.
So what I'm hearing you say is you need more chores to do at home?
No.
Okay. My expectations are too low, probably, for you. Never mind. We'll talk about that later. So that's the first thing, is don't let doubt or discouragement discourage your drive. Here's the second takeaway for this morning. Don't pretend to be someone that you're not, because God wants you to be you.
It's a lot easier to say.
It is than the first one. One of my favorite parts of the story is when Saul finally agrees to let David go and fight Goliath. And remember, it was sort of, I realized this afresh and anew. This is a big deal, because if David loses to Goliath, all of Israel becomes slaves to the Philistines. Like, that's the deal that's being made here with this one-on-one battle. It's a really, really big deal. Saul finally relents and says, fine, you can go. May the Lord be with you. And then he decides he's going to dress David up in the appropriate gear for the occasion of fighting a giant. He gives him his own tunic. The king's tunic is given to David. And he gives him, a suit of armor and a bronze helmet. He dresses him up in the appropriate gear. So to give you a little visual, I brought some stuff for you. I'll be right back. I don't really own a tunic, but I do have my coat that I brought with me. So here you go. Stand up. Put the microphone down. There you go. So here you go. This is my own tunic, especially for you. Perfect. Perfect fit. That's okay. You can be uncomfortable. I don't mind. I don't have a bronze helmet, but I've got this old motorcycle helmet that you can go ahead and wear. That'll probably fit you perfectly. So go ahead and check that out. Yeah, take your glasses off. That'll be fine. And I don't own a sword or a javelin or a spear, but I did have a friend who would bring me a nice large sledgehammer, because I'm not manly enough to own anything like that. So go ahead and pick that up. Yeah. Oh, your tunic's in the way. Be careful.
Yes, this is a pretty accurate representation.
Yeah, are you ready for battle? All right, you can go put that stuff back. So, yeah, well, you can keep the sledgehammer. I may use that to threaten you later. Who knows?
What?
No, just keep walking. You're fine. Everything's fine. So David gets dressed up in all of Saul's gear. And I think Saul, I have to believe there's some intention that is good. Like, he wants this kid to have the best shot possible, looking at this shepherd boy. Like, listen, I'll give you my armor. I'll give you my helmet. I'll give you something that might give you a fighting chance. But here's the problem. God did not put the passion in the heart of Saul to go out in the battlefield. In this moment, Israel doesn't need a Saul. Israel needs a David. And so David walks around and goes, no, this isn't me. I can't go like this. These are not the things I'm used to. So I want to remind you today that if you've ever questioned who you are or why you are the way that you are, I want you to be confident that God created you as you are. God knows you as you are. God loves you as you are. God calls you as you are. You do not need to be someone else in order to faithfully live in obedience to God's call on your life. God wants you to be you. Please don't pretend or try to be someone else. Speaking of pretending to be someone else, Why do you think a lot of kids like to pretend to be superheroes?
Probably because I like to think that they like what it is that superheroes do. They save the people. They beat up the bad guy. Or maybe it's the superpowers that come with the superhero. Maybe it's the gadgets. Maybe it's the suits, getting to wear a cape.
Ah, capes. So, yeah, it's something about the powers or the gadgets, but really it's also about being a courageous and heroic type person that you like to pretend to be that. Do you remember if you'd like to dress up as a superhero when you were younger?
I don't really remember, but I do know that I like to be Batman.
That is true.
I put on my Halloween costume as Batman for a couple years after the Halloween that I actually used it.
That is true. I brought a picture, but I didn't put it in the slides because I didn't want to embarrass you.
I still have that costume. It's stored away in my closet.
Oh, perfect. Dig that back out. See if it fits. Probably not.
Probably not.
So no, it is true, though. Like, for two Halloweens in a row, you wore the same costume. And multiple times in between those Halloweens, it was like, I'm going to be Batman. So, all right, before we get to the other two takeaways for this morning, let's get back to our kids. We asked them some other questions about this story. Things like, do you think David was afraid when he faced Goliath? Do you think he was brave for doing so? Or things like, what would you do if you were confronted with a bully, with somebody who was mean or intimidating? What things might you do? And trust me, there are more magical answers where they came from the first time around. So check out part two of talking with our FFC kids about David and Goliath.
Have you ever been around a bigger kid who was a bully and scared you? And what did you do? Or if you haven't been around a bully, what would you do if you had to face a big bully?
Make yourself feel like you were bigger or bigger than you are at that point.
Be strong.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you think if you had to face a big bully or bad guy?
Oh, kick punch. I'll actually do this. That's what I will do.
Wow. That looks pretty.
My running punch.
Nice.
Have you ever had to face someone or deal with someone who maybe was a bully like Goliath or someone who scared or intimidated other people?
Yes.
What happened?
They were pushing the other people in my class at recess, and
what did you do?
I just said, please stop.
Okay. Harrison, what about you?
No.
Never experienced anything like that, huh?
Mm-mm.
What if you did? What if you faced someone who was intimidating or scary to you or other people?
Well, I would tell them to stop and go.
What would you do if you faced a big bully? What would you do?
I will shove a rock into his forehead.
A rock into his forehead, good idea.
Somebody who bullied you or was mean to you?
No. Because people are, it's really nice in the world because God, I'm nice.
Oh, really? Well, if somebody was mean to you, what do you think you would tell them?
To calm it down.
Do you think it was hard for David to be brave? Why or why not?
It probably was because he was a shepherd and he was facing a 9-foot-tall giant who was out for bloodshed.
He was just too big, but the shepherd could take him right down. That must have been hard.
It must have been hard.
Do do you think it was hard for David to be brave?
Yes.
How come?
Because Goliath was way taller than him.
Okay. Margaret, what about you?
I think it was pretty hard because he was just a small kid and he was such a big giant.
When David was going to go fight Goliath, do you think he was scared because Goliath was so big?
No, why? Why would someone be huger in this building? I would not be still afraid.
You wouldn't be afraid?
No.
Do you think David was very brave?
He was brave.
He was brave.
Because God was with him.
You're right.
And God is stronger in any world.
Good job.
Stronger in the earth.
Is there anything else you want to say about David and Goliath?
No, I think that's all.
So I saw that and I thought, I just need Ben to preach, right? Ben, do you want to come preach? Like, was he afraid? No. Why be afraid? God is with you. He's stronger than the earth. I'm glad you're here. I'm really glad you're here. I'm really glad you're here. So let's jump into two more takeaways from the David and Goliath story. And here we go. Trust your experiences and trust your God. I think God often will use our previous experiences to prepare us for later opportunities. I think a big part of David's confidence was his vast experience in protecting his sheep from the lions and from the bears, and knowing that God was present with him in the midst of all of those challenges that had come before this moment facing Goliath. We see this throughout Scripture. We see it in the story of Joseph, where he faced all those challenges that prepared him to be the leader that he was. We see it in the life of Joshua, who watched the struggles of Moses to become the leader that he would be. We see this in the life of Ruth, who was prepared for the moment she would be in leadership. We see this with the story of Jesus' temptation when he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and those experiences prepared him for his years of ministry. We even see this in the followers of Jesus, in those first disciples who, after they were empowered at Pentecost, went out, and if you read the book of Acts, they changed the world. All of those experiences, some of them we maybe would rather not have, God uses them to prepare us for future opportunities and realities. Verse 45, David said, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. I mean, he had a sling, he had a stone, he had all his experiences, but he knew that his biggest strength was that he came representing the God of Israel. So Nathan, do you think it was hard for David to trust God when he went out on that battlefield against Goliath?
Well, although literally every kid in that video and that one cat will disagree with me, I don't think so, because in the scripture, David sounded pretty confident.
He did.
Obviously he trusted God enough to go up to a 9-foot-tall giant with a slingshot and a rock.
Yeah, that takes a pretty high level of trust that got developed in that time when he was a shepherd and using that sling and knowing that God was with him. So last takeaway for today from this story of David and Goliath is this. The ultimate goal of your battles isn't to make you confident or famous. It's to make God known. And Andy already alluded to this earlier during our time of singing. And certainly because of this, David will grow in his sense of confidence. David will grow in his fame and his renown among the people of Israel. But that was not the ultimate goal or the point. In verse 46, David said, so that the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. In verse 47, all those gathered here will know that the Lord saves. The ultimate goal was for God to be known, for God's salvation to be evident in the midst of the battle that he was facing. Jesus spoke about this in John chapter 3, early in John's gospel, looking forward to his crucifixion. And he said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Jesus knew that there was a great battle coming, but he knew that as he would be lifted up on the cross, the ultimate goal was that the salvation of God would be evident to all. This is the first of many battles that David fought. I think at a very young age, David had this experience with Goliath, and it had a lasting impact. Now, don't get me wrong, David was not a perfect person or a perfect king by any stretch of the imagination, but we are told that he was a man after God's own heart. And I think that as he fought every successive battle in life, he knew that those battles were opportunities for God to be known. In Psalm 105, we read, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make him known among the nations, what he has done." So Nathan, last question. What are some ways that you think we can make God known to the people around us today?
Well, today it's probably not a good idea to go up to a tall person and shove a rock in their forehead.
No, don't do that.
So back to the drawing board.
Don't do that.
I would say we could start telling people about things instead of back then they would show them things, like reading them scriptures, telling them parables, coming up with our own parables.
Yeah, interesting. Kind of coming up with new ways to tell the same story over and over again, almost like we're all missionaries.
Like, yeah,
missionaries
like a missionary.
Have to go into a new culture and do things that way, and that's the way that they make God known. And we can still do that today. We're all missionaries in the world in which we live. So, a few things for us to pray and reflect and think on before we finish with the song today. Here's the first one. Are you facing a giant-sized battle right now? Or do you know someone who is? Just be reminded that if that's you, that God is present with you and he is your strength. If you know someone who's in that kind of battle, I invite you to take this time of silent reflection to pray for them today, that they would know and understand the strength of God that is with them. Secondly, have you ever tried to be someone that you're not, either out of fear or outside pressure? And what did you learn from that experience? Remembering, God wants you to be you. Don't pretend like you need to be someone else. Third, just take a moment to thank God for your past experiences, the ones that in retrospect prepared you for future challenges. As you look back over life and remember some of your past challenges and how God has used those to prepare you for future opportunities. And then lastly, invite God to make all situations in your life, and especially your battles, to be opportunities for his presence to be known and his salvation to be evident. So take just a moment to prayerfully reflect on those. I'm going to cycle through those questions one last time. And after a moment of silence, I'm going to go ahead and close that up with a word of prayer. Father, it is our desire today to make you known, to make known who you are, what you have done, the great love that you have for us, for the world, that you so deeply love this place that we inhabit. And God, we acknowledge sometimes you use our battles to make yourself known. And we admit none of us like going through those battles. But as we think back, maybe we can remember the challenges that we have gone through, that you have seen us through, and your strength that have prepared us for opportunities that come down the road. So God, continue to strengthen us and set our vision forward, knowing that you are continuing to call us forward. We pray, God, that we would be ourselves, that we wouldn't pretend that we need to be someone else, that you created us, that you love us, that you've redeemed us, that you're calling us to be witnesses of who you are and what you've done. So God, take all of our lives and especially our battles and allow them to be opportunities for you to be known, for your salvation to be evident in our lives and in our world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.